it. What? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The Jiki Vines and Sugar Don, can't quit. What? Now pop the cork, it's Nina Vega and get lit. What? What? What?
Introducing. So the Ravens stink. But you know what? They beat the Cowboys, and guess what? Dorian, Cousin D, you didn't get away. So this is a special edition of Cowboys Corner just for you. We're going to talk about the game 2 weeks ago. If you don't like it, just fast forward 10 minutes. What happened? And the reason we're doing this is because all week I had to hear from this clown about, yo, you don't want to be in the car ride back with me when we win. I'm going to be talking so much shit. You're going to want to walk home. What happened, Streets? We get in the car. He goes to sleep.
I would too, man.
Oh, yo, man, I slept the whole way back. It was good sleep too.
Good bent sleep.
A little bit of that. So you want to know what happened in that game?
We'll keep it to 5 minutes because we got a lot of stuff to get to. So we'll keep it to like 5 minutes. Oh, we got D and we got Streets on the line. But 5 minutes. What happened in that game? Why did you guys lose? And where did the Cowboys go from there?
Well, I'll keep it short. We lost. It was a classic Cowboy loss. A game that we seemingly dominated and lost because of disorganization.
I would say dominated.
When you have 500 yards of total offense, and Sean, here's what I'll say. I wouldn't have said dominated from being at the game as well, but like when I looked at statistics and looked at time of possession and looked at total yardage, like we dominated that football game. What happened was, you know, we go in, we have a long sustaining drive and score, and then we allow a 108-yard, you know, kickoff return. And then, like, it's shit like that. And then don't get me started on Dez Bryant, who was having the best game of his career. And then, you know, the two-point conversion to tie it hits him in his hands and he drops it. So, I mean, they're frustrating.
The one reason why I say you wouldn't have didn't dominate the game necessarily is because you guys, granted, y'all ran the ball down our throats, but, like, every time you did that, we just come right back and score. Whether it was the kickoff return or even when Roman threw that pick and we scored on, like, six plays, it was like, all right, you hit us in the mouth, all right, we'll hit you right back. So it's like we went blow for blow. Like it was the opponents like, yo, damn, these dudes are really kicking our ass. It's like, all right, we can come right back down and score. Because, you know, I didn't hear 94's name called all day, which is surprising to me because, you know, our offensive line isn't exactly, you know, all five all pro guys. But, you know, whatever. Now I can say the Cowboys haven't beat the Ravens for 8 years. And that's all that matters to me.
I have a lot of fault with Garrett on that one, and I guess Romo can't be excused for blame. But, Sean, I don't know if you could tell this at the game because I didn't really realize it at the time, but we completed a one-yard pass, I guess, to the 34-yard line with about 32 seconds left on the clock, and we still had a timeout in our pocket. And part of this is Dez Bryant, too. So from what I understand, and I saw highlights of this a couple of days later, Dez Bryant was complaining to the officials. Romo's trying to get everybody to the line, but he can't get his receivers to hustle like he's trying to hustle. And then Garrett is just standing there looking at all of this go on, and there's a timeout in our pocket. We don't take the timeout until, what, like 5 seconds left before we bring on Bailey to kick the field goal? We could have snapped the ball two more times.
I honestly think that if Garrett wanted to call the timeout, he would have called the timeout. I think that Garrett basically decided once y'all only got 1 yard in that play, he decided, I'm just going to kick the field goal right now. Because granted, I remember Dez was complaining about something, but once you guys didn't look like you guys were trying to hustle to the line, Garrett didn't call a timeout. So I just figured, you know what? He set him for the field goal. So, what are you going to do?
Something's just not right with that, though.
So that's coaching. I think Tom Jackson said the other day, it's like, you know, when you can set up a game plan, you can set up, you know, what your offense do or what defense do, and they have to, no, there was a Tom Jackson. There was It was Dicker. It was Dicker. He said, you know, you can set up the offense, you can set up the defense, or what have you, but clock management is all 100% on you. And his clock management is, eh.
Well, you know, it was very similar to when he iced his own kicker last year. It was almost the exact same situation. We had a timeout. We completed a pass with, you know, 27, 28 seconds left. Instead of calling a timeout and getting everybody together to kick the field goal, you know, we're running around. We do get the snap off and the field goal's good, but he decided to call the timeout with 4 seconds on the clock, and then, you know, the rest is history because Bailey missed the kick afterwards. So it's just bad management, and I got to put it on I got to put that on Garrett.
So that win got the Ravens to 5-1. Maybe feel real good, and then we probably went to Houston and got our ass kicked. I was in Puerto Rico this weekend. I made sure to find a bar that had the game. I was actually inside of the bar because that really pissed me off, because I obviously want to be outside in the sun, and I promptly left at halftime. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't pass the ball. If we did anything, we'll turn the ball over. They'll come down and get points. We did diddly poo offensively. Joe, now, a lot of people give Joe Flacco shit, and I've come to say, I'll say this. Joe has these bad Joe games where they're just like stinkers, and a lot of them come on the road. I've seen him play very well on the road, but he just absolute stinker. Of course, our genius offense coordinator threw the run out of the window early. I don't understand how you have one of the five best running backs in the league, and he has 9 carries in the game. Like, how does he not have 10 carries by the half of every single game? Whatever. Someone say something.
Y'all suck, yo. what else you want me to say? I told you Houston was gonna beat the shit out of y'all.
Yeah, well, you said that. You would have said that. You said that because you're saying that.
No, I truly. Listen, we got into this a few weeks ago. I truly believe Houston's better than y'all. Period. You let Felix Jones, Philip Tanner, and DeMarco Murray run for 230 yards. So what's gonna happen when you get Arian Foster and Ben Tate, and then? And
well,
then I think
Houston ran the ball down our throat last year. I mean, the problem is the offense. Listen, at the end of the day, and Streets, please feel free to chime in. At the end of the day, when you play 4 games in 17 days and you lose a hardy-sorry defense and you lose your best corner and your best defensive lineman sprains his MCL, and I mean, and your offense just goes to shit. I mean, it's one thing. I figured Arian Foster would have a very good day. I figured he'd have a good day running the ball. On that day, the offense had to do something. And I think one thing that happened that I think a lot of people don't realize is that we have certain games where our receivers just do not get open. But, of course, you know, watching TV, you don't see that because, you know, you're watching a quarterback. That was the same. That happened to us the Jacksonville game last year. That happened to us the Seattle game last year. And that happened with this Kansas City game this year. These receivers, sometimes they just don't get open. And at that point, what a good offensive coordinator should do is say, all right, well, I need to find a way to get number 27 the ball and go from there. But, you know, whatever. He needs to go. Like, Harbaugh's going to ride out with this dude. He's going to get him fired. He needs to go.
I've been saying that for years.
Like Cam Cameron needs to go. I said it from 2010 when he was where he decided I'm gonna, like, he wouldn't try to establish that run against the Steelers, and last year the stink got covered up, you know, the stink got covered up because we came within a drop pass of the Super Bowl and we all forgot how horrible this guy is. But actually, I'm gonna say this really quickly. Last year, after the drop and the Cundiff kick, a lot of people like, you know, don't worry about it, you'll be back next year. And I said to them, there is no guarantee we'll be back next year because things can happen. And like, look what happens. We lose our best corner. We lose Ray Lewis. Not as hurt. Our right tackle got hurt. He came back in the game, but I mean, these dudes are like, freaking Ed Reed has a torn labrum. So I don't know. So, all right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back in 2 seconds. I'm gonna bring in McFly here.
McFly. Oh shit, we gonna have two Giant fans on the line?
Yeah, we're gonna have two Giant fans. Guys, actually, I want to talk about next.
Yo, Streets, how you feel about this Sunday, buddy?
I'm feeling great. How are you feeling? I'm feeling all right. Cause it's a must win. If they were undefeated, I would have put money against them.
Against who?
The Giants. Because they haven't had the letdown game yet. But it can't come this week. It's probably going to come against the Steelers.
It's a must win for both teams. Like, I really think it's a must win for both of us.
McFly, is this a must win? McFly's gone. Great.
Because if y'all drop to 1-3 in the division, that's going to come back to bite y'all, I think.
You know what?
If you're tied up. If you guys actually do well.
Yo.
Hey, McFly.
Did you just do a cartwheel down the stairs to get on the court? That shit was crazy.
McFly doesn't adhere to the rule that you can't move your computer when you're on Skype.
No, I was putting my headphones in because obviously I couldn't hear you without the headphones.
Are you in a studio? Yo, this dude sounds like he's a disc jockey right now.
McFly, is this a must win for your New York Football Giants?
Yes.
Told you.
Yes, we are 1-2 in the division thanks to Eli pulling out the Washington win. We're already 0-1 versus Dallas. We gotta beat Dallas. We can't be 0-2 versus Dallas. That might screw us in at the end of the season.
You can't lose these dudes twice, can you?
Whoa. What you mean these dudes? What you trying to say about my boys?
Don't think they're that good. Y'all lost to us.
Oh man!
But yeah, like this game is a must win, and then the next time I play those clowns from Philly, that's a must win as well.
That's the end of the season too. So
yeah, we got to win both of them.
That's gonna be fun.
By the way, I think division record is overrated. Division record is somewhat overrated.
Not in the NFC East.
No, because like Street said, it only matters if it comes out like the first tiebreaker is head to head. It's then the second tiebreaker division. But guess what? It doesn't matter if you finish with a better record. Like last year, the division record didn't matter because you were 9-7, they were 8-8.
They won the last game of the season.
We won the last game of the season. Yeah.
I understand that. But I'm saying is, like, listen, Philly was like 0-4 in the division. Had a chance to win the damn thing if they got a break their way.
Yeah, but and you lessen the amount of magical tiebreakers that you need. When you win and three teams need to lose, one needs to tie and or win. Like, you don't want to deal with all of that, especially in a close division.
Yeah, Sean, like the Cowboys and Giants played for the division last year. The Cowboys lost that game and finished third in the division, and that was because of tiebreakers.
No, I understand that, but
it's the East.
It's not like a situation where. Like, for example, a situation where, remember when St. Louis and Seattle played for division and Seattle won at 7-9? Like, both of those teams finished 7-9. They both had split the head-to-head, but the tiebreaker was division record. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's very rare that, like, okay, you two teams are tied in the season. And then you split the head-to-head, and then you go to division. That's what I mean. Obviously, division games are important because you play them more than anybody else.
I think what we're just getting at is it's very rare that somebody runs off with the NFC East. So it may not end in a tie per se, but it's gonna be close.
That's fair.
And then the other thing is if Dallas beats us, then that first tiebreaker automatically goes to them.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If Dallas beats the Giants, then it's over.
Yeah, so this is why it's a must win.
But don't. Y'all I can't lose to these clowns twice.
We will not lose this game at Eli Memorial. We will not lose this game.
Word.
Yo, can I, Allie, can I get
Man,
a...
Manning
I,
Stadium.
Instead of Eli
Memorial Stadium.
Can I get a score prediction, Allie? Let me get a score
prediction. Score prediction, I'll give you, I'll say 27-21. Mm.
What you got, Streets?
I don't even know, man. I'm gonna keep it real. I don't even know. It's gonna be something fluke is gonna happen. This dude, Eli, yo, Skip Bayless said that Archie Manning created Eli in a lab. I started crying. Yo, he started praising Eli like a lie. He said he's not human. He was created in a lab. He wasn't born. I think you know what I think he does? I think he purposely throws interceptions when the play calling is idiotic. If you notice, every time they're supposed to run and they do a first thing pass, it's like the interception's like, yo, you saw that. You did that on purpose. Either you did that on purpose or you just dumb out whenever the offensive coordinator dumbs out. Like in your mind, you're like, yo, this is so stupid. Whatever. Interception. See, I told you. Let me go get this back. Boom. This is how we're supposed to play. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do to Dallas what they did to San Francisco.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
I would not be surprised. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but I wouldn't be surprised because they were turned up for that game. Mind you, I respect Romo way more than Alex Smith, but they were turned up for that game. If they're turned up for a game, I just don't see the Cowboys being turned up. And with DeMarco Murray not there, Felix Jones ain't tearing up the...
Yeah, that's going to hurt.
That's
Felix
gonna hurt.
Felix Jones may not play. He's hurt too. Yeah, he got hurt.
Felix Jones is hurt? No, not my Felix Jones.
y'all still got Marion Barber number?
Now we down to Dorian Dixon. Now we got my boy Philip Tanner.
I was about to say, I better call Tashaun Choice and tell him to create a coup and get out of that contract. I'm going to pick up some Tashaun Choice or something. Go get what's my man, DJ Ware or somebody. Get a journeyman, something. But yeah, that's even crazy. If Felix Jones doesn't play, that's going to be crazy. Because,
no, it's not. It's Felix Jones. Jesus.
No, you got to understand what I'm saying, dog. Like, you're not hearing what I'm saying. They don't have – like, Felix Jones is serviceable. If they don't have somebody that you know is going to get, like, yards running, then they're going to do what they did to Alex Smith. They're going to let the four run, and you got to beat us one-on-one with the throw.
I don't even think he's serviceable.
Felix Jones would be serviceable if he ain't eat Twinkies all offseason.
I don't even think Felix Jones is serviceable. Like, this dude did nothing as Carolina, who was starting me at middle linebacker. Like, and I used to be a Felix Jones fan. He's not good.
Yo, he did rush for 95 against the Ravens, though. I will put that out
there. And like I said, you probably got 74. We can't stop nobody. We can't. Oh, speaking of the Ravens, dear Kim Cameron, Ray Rice has 106 carries through 7 games. I'm just going to say this again. Ray Rice, one of the 5 best running backs in football, has 106 carries through 7 games. You piece of shit. They should have put you under the plane with the baggage. Anyway, go ahead.
Shit.
Damn.
Can't really follow up with that.
Word. Not at all.
So is Victor Cruz the best running back, best wide receiver in football?
No.
Hell no.
Not right now? Not no. Right now?
Hell no.
Like I said on the email thread, if right now Marty Mayhew called Jerry Reese and said, Jerry, you can have Calvin Johnson, give us Victor Cruz. What do you think Jerry
that's
said?
That's not what I'm asking you.
But that's not what – see, that's what – this is why I don't like black people, yo. Like, that's not what he asked. That's
you.
Why I think in a bubble in the season through seven – yo – through like 4 games, Alex Smith was statistically the best quarterback in
the
NFL.
He wasn't the best quarterback in football.
But do you technically he was, right? So would I say he's the best? Hell no. Would I had to begrudgingly admit that the cesspool was the best team in football at one point because you are what your record is. All I'm saying is by numbers, through set what, 7 games, 7 weeks?
Well,
thank you, thank you.
Just by numbers, just by statistics, how you're performing this season, not your reputation, not your resume, your current job performance. So, your current job performance, Fitzgerald and Megatron haven't done shit. They haven't. Yeah, I think they're nicer than Cruz in general. This season, they haven't done as much as he did.
So really what your question is, has Victor Cruz been the most productive receiver this year? That's really what the question is.
Production doesn't equal best.
I
didn't even ask
all that. I said, who's the best receiver? I didn't say who's a talented, most talented receiver. I said, who's the best? I was like, could you? No, I said, okay. I said, could you make the argument? And I'm saying that the argument could be made. I'm not saying definitively. I'm not saying who would you trade for. I'm not saying who could jump the highest or who has the most potential or upside, whatever. I'm like, right now, could you make the argument?
I don't think so. From a productivity standpoint, yes. From a purely numbers game, yes. From a talent, no.
Why not?
Who's better? Who's better right now this season? Who's better right now this season?
I think AJ Green is better right. Like, if looking at numbers and what they do, like on the field and catching the ball and all that stuff, I think I'd go AJ Green and I would probably go Roddy White. Now, Cruz's numbers may be slightly better than White's. Him and Green may be about even. I haven't looked at the numbers, but
AJ Green has 44 for 636. Victor Cruz has 50 for 627. And Roddy White has 37 for
553. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen. Green and Cruz are comparable.
I agree.
Roddy White. His numbers are slightly under. But what I will say, Roddy White catches everything. He catches everything.
Not everything. Enough.
All right. Nobody catches everything. But I very rarely see Roddy White drop passes.
You know who to me catches everything? Larry Fitzgerald. Because he sees so little. His percentage is so high.
Nice hands, Larry.
I mean, here's my thing with the whole discussion, and Sean, you say this all the time. Matthew Stafford finished with 5,000 passing yards. Crazy statistical season. Who had Matthew Stafford as a top quarterback? Exactly nobody.
Sean, did you
have Matthew Stafford as a top 5 quarterback?
Who the hell is Sean? And the answer is no.
Exactly. But so how can you use the Victor Cruz logic now and ignore that with Matthew Stafford? And that was over the course of an entire season.
By the way, this guy's a Giant fan.
What I would say is this.
No, answer that question.
I'm answering the question.
Okay.
Comparing the position of running back and wide receiver are two different things. And here's in the sense that Matthew Stafford throws the ball to 81 all the goddamn time. It's his first read, his second read, his third read, what have you. I don't think that Matthew Stafford plays, like, watching him as a quarterback, I'm like, yo, you do this wrong, you do that wrong, you don't do this, you don't do that, but you are down, but you throw the ball 60 times, and you're down 2 touchdowns, you stand the third, you're going to get your numbers. Like, and that's why I said, I wasn't just purely from a statistical standpoint about Victor Cruz. But then again, I'm not automatic to say, well, then it's statistics and talent, because then Dez Bryant should be in any top 10 discussion, and we all know how everyone on this call feels about Dez Bryant.
I'm just saying that.
I'm not even talking about UD. Guilty conscience. I'm just saying that who's playing wide receiver better than Victor Cruz right now? I guess that's a better question.
Could I argue?
All I'm saying is, you could argue that nobody right now is playing wide receiver better than Victor Cruz. You could argue it.
I guess if you want to do it like that, then I guess you can spin the argument.
That's what the fuck I said! Who's better? Who's the best wide receiver right now? But that's, I want to trade you. You want to trade for this
to,
guy?
To me, that's two different questions, though.
I agree with Mr. Get It On Jones over there.
No, who's playing the best wide receiver right now and who the best wide receiver is right now? Two different questions.
He asked who's the best wide receiver, not who's playing
the best right now. Yes.
So I could be playing like shit, but you'd still consider me the best.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson necessarily playing like shit.
No, that's not what I didn't mention no names. I'm just saying in general. I could not be produced. So Cam Newton, you would still say this season is a better quarterback than, let's say, RG3.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Why not? Drafted. Why wouldn't you say that?
Because Cam is actually playing like shit.
That one too. I think RG3 is flat out a better player.
I see where you're going with this, Streets. I see what you're saying. Like, for example, Calvin Johnson has one touchdown this year. I'll give a better example. Through two games, Wes Welker had like four catches. If I came to you and said that Vincent Jackson was better than Wes Welker, like if Vincent Jackson, let's say he had two games where he had more catches than Wes Welker, and I said who's better, right? Who's better, Wes Welker or Vincent Jackson? You wouldn't say Vincent Jackson. You say Wes Welker.
Of course, I would say Wes Welker because he's a better player.
That's what me and Stu are trying to say. Like you're saying, like, well, like for example, if Megatron this year had 10 catches for 110 yards and no touchdowns to this point right now, would you say that Megatron is a better wide receiver than Victor Cruz?
First of all, I have to see the games as to why he's getting 10 catches for 100 yards.
Allie's right because
you have to see what.
But
what's
that doesn't downplay
happening.
Their talent level. That's
what about Chris Johnson?
I'm not high on Chris Johnson. So full disclosure.
Oh, you're not now?
I've never been.
He's never been high on Chris Johnson. That's actually fair.
Nor have I.
Oh Jesus! You know what? Next question, B. I'm good. I'm done.
Streets, do understand that when Chris Johnson ran for 2,000 yards, and these two guys will tell you, I told people then he's not a top three running back. And that's after he ran for 2,000 yards. I said he's not a top three running back.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just with anybody. I see what I see. And I told people Vince Young made his yards, and the minute Vince Young left, he hit the shitter.
I said that too.
True.
I'm a Victor Cruz guy. I'm not even sure if Victor Cruz like is the best receiver on his own team. I think Nix is better than he is.
I think Nix is better too. But I don't even know. Like I'm going hard. Like I'm Puerto Rican. But it's just the point of what Sean was saying. That's why I answered. Next time you got to devise a question.
Yeah.
Like
it seems like you understood the question and they didn't understand. So I'll take the L for that. And we'll move on.
Yeah, for what you're asking, though, I agree. It could be argued.
Okay, I'll move on. Are the New England Patriots overrated?
Yes.
Si, senor.
Definitely. Always have been. Always will be.
Cousin D?
Are they overrated? I say no just because I don't see people rating them extremely high right now. I think nobody's looking at them as the best team in the AFC right now.
Really?
But they're always in the conversation. Like it's almost at this point with the Patriots, it's almost like they've become the new Great White Hope. And not even on a race level, just in terms of they're like the golden child of football that people always want to be at the pinnacle. Low key. It's almost like they're America's team.
Oh, they are America's
team. Yeah, that's definitely the case.
And I said that 5 years ago.
But you know what's funny? Josen, shout out to Josen. The first time I asked that question, who's the best team in the AFC? We had that discussion 2 weeks ago. And Joe's eye and me, because I remember the whole thing we're going back from between the Texans and the Ravens. what a difference 2 weeks makes. And he eyed me, he said, I don't think it's either. And I'm like, okay, he's a Steelers fan. He's probably going to say Steelers. Like, I think it's the Patriots. And mind you, this is after they lost to the Ravens and the Cardinals. And people are still saying the Patriots. And I think that's why, and there are a lot more people that were thinking that. And that there are a lot of people that will see the game like, oh, the Patriots won again. They beat the Jets. They're 5-3 or whatever. They're 5. And there are probably people, a lot of people still say they're best team in the AFC. But I just think that that team has, like, that's, like, people kept saying that, like, not to, you know, beat a dead horse or, you know, whatever. But people were saying, like, well, we were lucky to beat them. And I said, well, not necessarily, because they were up 9 at the ball. Then they just couldn't get a stop. And they couldn't score. And every time they scored, we came right back. So I think the team isn't the juggernaut that everyone expects them to be. And even, like, Cousin Sal was saying on our podcast today is, like, Bill Simmons was saying that, like, remember how the Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years? And then 3 years after that, everyone was like, all right, the Cowboys could still win it. They could still win it. They could still win it. Until they lost at home to the Arizona Cardinals and in the playoff game. And that's when everyone was like, yo, this might be over. And maybe New England's in that stage where, like, it's muscle memory to the Patriots. They'll be all right.
Yeah, listen, until I see Quincy Carter join New England, New England ain't in the same boat as Dallas. Jeez. Oh my God, Quincy Carter. Anyhow,
wow, that's a throwback.
Hey, remember
Chad Hutchinson?
Chad Hutchinson.
By the way, shout out to Terrence Newman. I miss you, dude. Come back.
Yo, did Vinny Testaverde play for Dallas at any point?
Yes, he did.
He did, right?
Yo, that dude was immortal. He definitely was a vampire.
I think when Bill got there, he was the first guy that Bill brought in.
Yes, he was.
Because I remember hearing all, because you know what I also remember hearing? I remember hearing all last season from a certain Cowboy fan on this call. You know what the Cowboys are going to do? You know who we're going to bring in next year? They're going to bring Lisa Promised Land? Drew Bledsoe, baby!
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yo, Streets, this dude made Drew Bledsoe to Joe Montana. He was going to walk in and lead the Cowboys to glory.
I used to think he was nice, yo. I'm not even going to – I can't even front. He fooled me, son. Drew Bledsoe, he was nice for a good 3 years, and then I think Drew Brees took his soul, like the Monstar. Him and Brady, like, did a ritual and then split his powers.
Mo Lewis ended his career literally and figuratively.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, that was it. Tom Brady, yeah.
That was it. Who knows what happens if Mo Lewis doesn't fracture his ribs?
We might not know who Tom Brady is.
We might not. It's crazy. All right, so anything else football-wise that I want to discuss? Begins this week. Yo, the Bills stink. Jesus, I'm crow.
Good for nothing.
They're awful.
They're up 6 with the ball. They have the ball. They're up 6 with 5 minutes left. I'm like, these dudes are going to win.
They stink.
I wonder what they're thinking about that contract they gave to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mario Williams. What was Mario Williams doing?
I was gonna say Fitzpatrick might be one of the worst contracts in history, but that's nothing compared to Mario Williams.
Nothing.
Apparently, I heard something today that said the problem is the Bills are playing a scheme defensively
that's not meant for them.
For their personnel. Like they're just trying to get up. They have personnel where they're just trying to get up field all the time, and it's like, no, don't do that. You have these two defensive ends, and you have these two defensive tackles. You have this guy, let these two guys, let Darius and Kyle Williams chew up people and let what's the name eat. I'm sorry. I refuse to believe that Mario Williams and someone forgot how to rush the passer.
I agree.
Another question. So when Santana won't score that touchdown, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being we're going to lose, we're definitely going to lose, and 1 feeling we're definitely going to win, how did you rate the Giants' chances? I'll start with Al.
I got 2. too. I was very confident. Cousin B will tell you. I didn't really panic at all. Just it was like a minute and a half left. We got Eli. Nothing to worry about.
Streets.
If 10 was, I think we're definitely gonna lose. I probably was fluctuating between a 3 and a 7 because the play calling was what was killing me, because they were just doing stupid stuff with the play call. And I said, if they play call smart, I have no doubt in my mind that Eli will make it close or give us a shot. But if the play calling was so horrible, I said, if it's going to continue like this, we're not going to win. And 10 seconds later, the game is basically over. And that's what it was. Literally 20 seconds later, I think.
I thought he took your soul. I was like,
Santana monster. He took my soul.
I thought RG3 took your soul. I was like, yo, these dudes are going to lose to the Redskins again? Again? I thought he took your soul.
That's not fair. What I will say is this. My panic meter was higher after we scored than before we scored.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, you left them like a minute 43. Yeah. And they're moving the ball.
They moved the ball up and down the field all freaking day.
Yeah, the defense had a bad game, to say the least.
Like, I'm scared of RG3.
They got turnovers and they still had like a game. I don't know. But that when you got, I thought it was 0-5 the way Santana Moss was out there styling on cats.
Did you see what Simmons wrote on Friday? He was like, if you're a Rams fan, what would you rather have? Sam Bradford and 3 first round picks or RG3?
Oh, wow.
And he, like, what, like, shit. I mean, too bad. I don't think the kid's gonna. I mean, I just hope he can stay healthy, because he already got his bell rung once this year.
Yeah, I'm not really too worried about that. I think he's learned the art of get out of bounds.
The Redskins haven't played the Cowboys yet, have they?
Nah, this was their first division game.
That was their first division game.
They have not played us yet.
That's interesting.
They play the Steelers. They play the Steelers next week. The Steelers have to play the Redskins, then the Giants.
We see Washington Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, that's probably during y'all. Because everybody in the NFC has like a hell month. Like, I think ours is like we have one at November. That's when it's like Saints, Falcons, Packers, Ravens, or something crazy like that before Washington and Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Cowboys have Giants at Atlanta, at Philly, 3 straight weeks. Then they get a bye week with Cleveland, and they host RG3. Then they get Philly again.
Can I just say something real quick? I just got to say this, Sean, and you know
what. You go right ahead, buddy.
The Atlanta Falcons will be undefeated when we come into the Georgia Dome, and we are going to beat their ass. That's all I got to say. I can't stand it.
I'm glad you brought that up. How in blue hell are the Falcons getting points
against the Eagles? I saw that.
How in blue hell is a 6-0 team getting points against Philly?
I saw that.
What do you mean, Sean, by getting points? They're the underdog?
They're the underdog. They're 2-point underdogs.
I saw that. But
are they playing in Philly?
It's in Philly. I don't give a fuck. It's on the moon. It's 6-0.
Oh. Listen, because
you know why? Vegas knows
what they're doing.
They know about the cesspool.
No, but they, you know, that's the way they're going to get people. Oh, the Falcons are definitely going to win, and they're going to hope that Philly pulls something out.
I'll tell you something right now. If the Eagles beat the Falcons, get Matt Ryan all the way out of here. Like, if you're a good team, you walk into Philly and you beat those dudes. You don't got to beat the mess out of them. You don't got to beat them by 20. But if you're a good team, you walk into Philly and you beat them.
This is true. We'll see.
I actually split that sheet. That one I split. I was like, Vegas knows something that I don't know.
Didn't the Giants just lose in Philly?
We sure did.
Yeah. Last kick of the game.
We're also not 6-0.
Yes.
It's a division. That's the division. So you got to kind of weigh it like that. But Yeah, if the Falcons are who they say they are, they go into Philly and win.
I'll say this, because I thought Atlanta's true test was going to be San Diego. I'm like, you know, they're not really good on the road. They travel a lot west, and they beat the mess out of San Diego. Now, is San Diego good? That remains to be seen. But then again, are San Diego, if I said San Diego and Philly are on the same level, you wouldn't necessarily shoot me. So if you're a good team, you walk into Philly and you outcoach Andy Reid and you win the game. Or else I will be betting against you when you host that divisional playoff game against whoever, because win the game. But I just found, I was like, come on, like you're 6-0, like you're 6-0, and going to Streets' point. You think if the Patriots right now played at Philly, they will not be getting 2 points. And I think Atlanta's better than New England right now. But they're New England.
You know, New England's been America's team for the past decade.
Yep.
Ever since they beat the Rams, they've been America's team.
All right. Enough about football. Excuse me. Two things, quickly. One, how are we going to fix the Yankees?
Dig up Stick Michael?
Get in the DeLorean, go back to 98, and get young Mariano Duncan and bring him back.
I don't want to talk about them no more. World Series predictions?
Giants in six.
Yeah, I'm actually with Streets here.
Make it a sweep. Cousin D, who doesn't watch baseball?
I'm actually taking the Giants, too.
Oh. Right.
But like you said, I don't watch baseball. So.
The single only reason is that whole six-day layoff thing.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit wasn't really hitting like that, though. That's all I'm saying. And come on, man. The Giants, dog, they about to zip those guys up. They're gonna get the two that I'm giving them is Verlander.
I agree.
The two that I'm giving them is Verlander. After that, it's a wrap.
I just hope Valverde gets rocked again. I can't stand that dude.
Who's playing with change in the background?
Oh, that's me. Sorry. Didn't think you could hear.
I tell you, this thing hears everything. I hear everything. I hear everything.
True.
All right, so we'll wrap this up with this. Can the Jets really get to 8 wins? Please,
They should. No. I think they could.
All right, we're going to play our favorite game. You know we got to play this game. All right, let's see what we got. Now that we have 7 weeks of data, let's take a look. I mean, I actually think I had them at 3-4 at this point because I had them... I did have them losing to the Colts, and I
it was give me my beer. Won.
But yes, I eat beer, and I think I had them lose. All right, whatever. All right, so they host Miami this week. Streets, we can still hear you.
Sorry. I try to put the quarter down, man.
Stop recreating a 50 Cent intro and just.
Nice.
All right.
Very well.
All right. So they host Miami. They could lose, but they should win.
Miami's not bad.
They're not good either.
Coming off a bye, I don't know. That's a toss up.
Actually, I think I picked Miami against the spread. Because they are coming off a bye.
And the resurrection of Sean Green, Cousin D's boy, is about to end.
Oh my God.
Sean?
Sean Green, Iowa trash. All right.
Is he hurt? Like, in the New England game, looked like he was kind of woozy.
Because he was getting popped.
I heard he got his bell rung.
Oh, he got it. Yeah, it sure did.
Does it really matter, though? He's Sean Green.
And he is Sean Green. All right, so we all assume that the Jets have no chance in Seattle.
None.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Do they have any chance in St. Louis?
Yes.
Have a chance.
Who's gonna give them? Who would give them a win in St. Louis?
I'll give it to him.
I will not.
And I won't. So we'll come back to that one.
The Seattle game's in Seattle.
Yes.
All right.
Do we give them any chance Thanksgiving night against New England at home?
Actually, I do. Only because it's Thanksgiving night and it's in Jersey. I give them a shot.
I'll give them a shot. I don't know if I could pick them.
Yeah, I don't know if I can pick them, but I give them a shot.
They have no chance at that, I suppose. All right.
You know what I say to that? It depends on their next three games. Like, if they get a little momentum, if they somehow take two of three, and I give them a shot against New England.
Sure.
You know, I actually give them – actually, you know, so let's stop right here for a second. Did anyone see the game?
I saw it.
Yeah, we all did. Me and Allie did.
How did they get to 26 points?
They still ran the ball,
and then they ran the ball. And then they ran the ball. That's basically that's really what they did.
See, you know what's interesting here? Because the biggest thing on the Jets is that
Sanchez played a good game too.
Yeah, I'm about to say Sanchez chuffed the ball like 40 times.
Yeah, Sanchez played a good game. Yeah, but I just feel like there was a point where like they just ran the ball. And the reason why Sanchez, to be honest, the only reason why Sanchez really got off like that is because Wingo was just like, yo, you're gonna throw the ball. And Sanchez, to his credit, took advantage.
Yo, these dudes could actually get to 8 wins.
Don't say that.
Let me read this off to you. Miami at Seattle, at St. Louis, New England, Arizona, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, San Diego, at Buffalo.
I mean, they can. But
that's fine. I can find 5 wins in there.
I can find 5 wins. But the thing is that Jets can lose a game that they have no business losing.
And it's going to be at home.
To Jacksonville.
That game is actually in Jacksonville.
Oh.
They could lose at home. They could lose to Kevin Cobb at home to Arizona.
Well, I think they will lose that game.
See, Arizona can't score. But that game could be 9. They could win that game 9-6. That's what bothers me. Like, that's a game. That could be a game right in Rex Ryan's doghouse. Like, I'm gonna dial my exotic blitz scheme, which is send 7, and Cobb or Skelton's like, oh no.
That means I'd have to old Landon.
We're gonna win. Oh, I see the loss right here. They're gonna lose to Tennessee on Monday night in Nashville, week 15.
Who booked that? Yo, and sidebar, Thursday Night Football is the worst booked.
Oh, Thursday Night Football.
Ever. It sucks.
But do you know why? You know why it's probably not going away?
Money.
But do you basically the NFL was trying to set that up to sell the Thursday night games to another network and make money.
Correct.
And apparently NBC Sports, which showed USA Spain reruns last week, will probably bid up the ass for that shit because no one watches NBC Sports. Like, Thursday Night Football is a crock of shit, and we as Americans should not watch Thursday Night Football.
Well, it's absolutely awful games.
That's what happens when you have two teams that played on Sunday, turn around and play 4 games later. Like, literally, I remember, like, last year, Thanksgiving, we played San Francisco. And I was like, you know something? If I was in Vegas, I would have bet any amount of money that we'd win that game. Because San Francisco literally played a game Sunday and had to fly 3,000 miles and play 3.5 days. That's ridiculous. Like, they had no chance. They had no chance. Like, that. Like, if they won, like, whatever. Yeah, so I think
What's crazy is nobody likes Thursday Night Football. The fans don't like it. The owners don't like it. The players don't like it. Like, nobody likes it.
Nobody. The owners like it.
If it's late in the season, like how they used to do it, like the last few weeks, Not for 17 weeks. At this point, it's whatever.
But the funny thing is, that's when it's the worst. Cause that's when you're really banged up and messed up. And then it's you got to turn around and... I don't know. Whatever. All right, so... Let's just pray the Jets don't get to. I want Scott. So let's pray the Jets get to 7. All right. Any last words from anybody?
Trying to think of any college football tidbits here. Not really much going on college football this weekend. K-State Texas Tech will be a good one though.
It will be a good one. Either next week. Yeah, actually, you know something? Next week will be the definitive 7-18 NBA preview. This is where we get out where us stupid Knicks fans get ourselves hyped up for 46 wins. And I've already gotten word that Dorian has the Lakers down for a 77-5 or the 76-6.
Kobe.
How many wins? 76 or 77?
Shit, we might get 79-3.
Whatever, man. Yo, I'm out, man.
Nah, yo, Streets. I said we'll go 58-24. That's my true prediction.
I'm still disgusted. I watched that team and I'm disgusted. It's like Big Bake. It's like Big Bacon. It's like Lakers are like Citigroup, man. I'm so sick. I'm so sick. I have so much sour grapes, man. Yo, whatever. Oh, my final word is if you haven't seen it, watch that 30 for 30 on Benji Wilson. That joint was incredible. Incredible.
All right. So check that out. All right. For Streets, for Cousin D, and for Vlad Jones McFly, I am William A. Straff, and this is it.